having a little malfunction. No one call a referee. Is that just me? One more shot, have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. But once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times. So let me, oh let me redeem or redeem on myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot. All right, so little malfunction, but I picked that lead in music intentionally because I was wondering if it's too late for Will Hathaway to say sorry for putting the Kings in his playoff picture. What do you think, Will? Are you apologizing for that one, or are you sticking to it?
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know. It might be too late to say I'm sorry. It might. That was just such a bad pick as of right now. But you know, let's say the Kings get a new coach this coming week. I believe they play the Pistons tonight. And last year, the Pistons were the team to knock the Kings' coach. They got a coaching change right after they played the Pistons, and the Pistons won. So maybe it happens, and they get a good coach, and they turn it around. So I'm not going to apologize just yet.
Let me hit you with a soundbite from our first episode.
I guess George Karl had big problems with when he was the coach in Denver. They were really good, but he did have problems with guys like J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony. And for me, that doesn't bode well on his relationship with guys like DeMarcus Cousins. Because I think Cousins is kind of a guy like, you know, J.R. Smith. He wants his numbers, and he's kind of...
Does that ring any bells?
Yo, it definitely rings some bells. I applaud your prediction, but I mean, when we recorded that, we also had, everyone sort of remembers George Karl sort of telling DeMarcus Cousins that basically any player in the NBA could be traded. So we knew that there were some issues there beforehand. But yeah, I'll give you credit there. Just instead of full 100% credit, I'll give you bump you down to like an A-.
I'll take an A- because I think a lot of people kind of saw those problems coming in Sacramento. For me, I think that it's a smart move. I think at this point, there's no reason to hang on to George Karl. You got to get rid of him now and start fresh. The season's still early enough where you might be able to salvage something. Personally, I don't think they will just because it seems like the players don't very good at playing with each other. There's too many me guys on the team. I saw Bill Simmons tweeted something about a potential three-way trade where with the Celtics. He tweeted this as an idea, not something that could potentially happen, but it was a three-way deal where the Knicks, Celtics, and Kings did. Cousins went to the Knicks. Porzingis went to the Celtics. And I believe the Celtics sent a Nets first-round draft pick to the Kings. And I think he said that because he wants Porzingis.
Right.
I wouldn't hate it, even as good as Porzingis has looked, but it seems like they're basically going to choose Cousins over Karl and Canham, and I think you had to do it sooner rather than later while the season can still be salvaged, so it makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Kings are basically a team that I think I saw a tweet earlier today that the Kings are a team that, like, you put your fantasy basketball team on auto draft and you just get the players that are just no one really wants. No one knows what they're doing, how they'll fit. And then a fantasy team, you don't have to worry about chemistry. And the Kings just, you know, basically went out and got a team. I think Vivek is probably the biggest disaster of an owner, maybe right behind Donald Sterling as far as owners in the past couple of years. The guy, you know, basically came out and all that said Cousins is his guy, and basically any coach who comes in and doesn't Cousins happy is going to be gone, which is just the biggest disaster. The only person you can do that for is basically LeBron. who's already a coach himself practically and has won multiple times, you can't empower a player already with a huge ego that much to the point where basically, you know, he is coaching himself. It's going to be tough to see, interesting to see if Carl, and I think we both think he's going to be canned in the next coming weeks, to see which coaches they get and who even wants to come.
That's, I mean, it's an interesting question. Generally, in these midseason deals, you don't see a really good coach step into the job. I would imagine we'll get someone internally who has a good relationship with the players. You have a former player who's your GM, Vladi Divac, who mm-hmm. Has proven to be fairly inept, I would say. A great move by Cuban, getting rid of Rondo, seeing it wasn't working. Rondo didn't get along with Rick Carlisle in Dallas. He even benched Rondo, which is a huge red flag because I think Carlisle is one of the better coaches in the league. And you saw that, like, Cuban thinks so too, obviously. They just extended him for 5 years. And so this isn't anything necessarily new with Rondo in the past couple years. And then Rudy Gay is kind of a guy who's been an upper echelon talent guy who's never been on a good team, and he's never had really any success at all in the league. And then you have DeMarcus Cousins, who's a huge problem. So the team they've assembled, it's going to take a special guy to get it on track, and I don't think they're going to be able to find one. So I'm not expecting this season to turn around. I expect them to have a top five draft pick next year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet. Sort of lost in all of this Kings hoopla is the fact that we get to watch Cousins playing Drummond tonight. I mean, two of probably the best rebounders in the NBA right now, easily, probably in the past 10 years. And I think that's going to, you know, people are kind of sleeping on this matchup just because both teams don't necessarily move the needle too much. But I'm pretty excited to see how that sort of plays out. Like, does Drummond get 20 rebounds with Cousins boxing him out? Does Cousins try to, you know, show Drummond he's the big guy on the court? You know, interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is. That one, luckily I have League Pass, so I might pop it on a little bit. But two teams don't move the needle. I think the Pistons might be a team that might move the needle. I know last week we talked about it being too early for the Pistons. I'm starting to think it might not be too early. I think the Pistons are a team that basically is a lock to make the playoffs in the East at this point.
Yeah.
As a high seed. Better than those bottom few teams we were talking about.
Yeah, especially seeing as it's looked like some of the top teams aren't necessarily as top as we thought right now. I mean, just in terms of, you know, it seems sort of like the Celtics have stumbled a bit. The Wizards have obviously stumbled. The Bucks aren't, you know, it's just kind of, it's a little bit less, you know, cut and dry. Like, we have the teams we knew who were going to be really good and the teams who we knew were going to be really bad. And then they're, you know, 10 teams or so. Yeah, Cavs and Hawks and
right. That's kind of my point. Those teams in the middle rounds haven't looked in the middle. Even as far as the Bulls situation is, and we both had them very high on our playoff lists. They haven't looked particularly special. So everyone basically. I mean, I think the Raptors are still a very good team, and I think the Hawks are still a very good team, obviously the Cavs. But those teams in the middle that we were talking about, like the Wizards, like the maybe the Heat. The Heat have been impressive, I'll say that. But like the Celtics and Bucks, the Pistons have looked light years ahead of those teams, the Bucks and Celtics. And they're not even at full strength yet because they're still waiting on Jody Meeks and Brandon Jennings to come back. Now, that is going to be an interesting situation because more so with Jennings than Meeks, Jennings likes to have the ball in his hands a lot. We'll see how they can work him and Reggie Jackson together, and that could be potentially problematic. But I think the Pistons have looked really good. And, I mean, at what point do you put Drummond in the MVP conversation?
I'm
not saying he's in it now long term, but I'm saying at what point and what would he have to do for you to put him in that conversation?
For me, Drummond, if he can get the Pistons into the playoffs, especially if it can be like a convincing like six seed, or you know, not just they sneak in by a Bucks loss on the last day or something, and Drummond is clearly putting up these, not necessarily, I don't think anyone expects him to be putting up 20 and 20 every game, but if he, you know, keeps up somewhat at this clip where he's averaging at least like 15 and 15, let's say, or 15, even maybe 17 and 12, just the numbers where it's like, you know, he's clearly the dominating force on his team and he can get his team into the playoffs, I think he would be MVP. The one thing that does kind of, that I think hurts him is just how much of like the most just cookie cutter perfect fit he would be in like the most improved award. It just seems sort of where, you know, it's just like he would have to just be the clear favorite. And I think so for MVP, he might have to do something like keep putting up just these crazy numbers, shatter records and things like that.
I think he'd have to average more than 20 points, more than 12 and a half rebounds, and he'd have to get the Pistons to the four seed.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, the Pistons also have, like, I mean, Reggie Jackson is, I think, leads their team in points, and you can bring up the soundbite of the Georgia native KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I think people sleep on him. I just think the Pistons are a lot more of, like, they're a good team and they have good players around them, that to the point where it's not as much like if Anthony Davis got the Pelicans to the sixth seed, people are like, wow, who else does he have around him? Drummond, it's, you know, he's clearly the guy drives the boat, the ship, but he still has, you know, serviceable guys around him who have been proven it on other teams and in the playoffs too.
Yeah. And that was a fairly smooth transition, just because the Kings happen to be playing the Pistons tonight. But back to talking about the problem with Cousins is, well, I was looking through his stats today, and he's shooting 37% from the field, which for a center that's pretty bad. I mean, wouldn't you say? That's pretty bad.
I'd say that basically shows two things. A is Rondo is not getting Cousins in the ball where he needs, where Cousins is comfortable, because, you know, good point guards get the big guys, especially guys who can hold their own on the block, the ball when they're ready, when they're comfortable. And two, it says to me that Cousins is shooting shots that he's not necessarily comfortable shooting, whether it be to spite George Karl, whether it be he wants to, you know, have his breakout year. He's been talking so much about, like, you know, I think at the beginning of the year he said the MVP award was his to lose, just things like that. I just think he's, you know, forcing the issue and shooting things that are, you know, he may or may not be comfortable with.
I completely agree.
To watch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it's a situation where he thinks he's a lot better than he is, and I can understand Carl's frustration, and Cousins is a phenomenal player. There's no doubt about it. But he's not someone who should be taking 3.5 threes per game, which he is.
No. Yeah, no.
He's taking 3.5 threes per game, shooting them at 28.6%. It's like, all right, fine. I understand if you're hot, you're hot, and you're shooting above 30% at least. But, I mean, you're hitting basically a quarter of your threes. At that point, you just shouldn't be taking them. And it's, I mean, I understand where George Karl is coming from, and I kind of feel bad for him because I think he is a very good coach. He got fired after winning Coach of the Year. So he's in a tough spot with the team he got. This is not the team George Karl needs to be successful.
No.
So I understand the frustration, and Carl's not the guy to handle a DeMarcus Cousins and a Rudy Gay and a Rondo and you know, all these guys. So, but it's the team he chose. He didn't have to leave. He didn't have to stop being an analyst. He wanted to come back and coach. The Kings wanted him to coach the team, and he knew who was. He knew this roster when he got there. So on one hand, right. I feel bad for him, but on the other hand, he knew what he was getting into.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, don't feel too bad for him. He's. I think he's. If he gets fired, he's going to reel in some serious cash. Not that he's strapped.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
So the reason we didn't do the show on Tuesday was because Will Hathaway, your boy, was at the Wizards Thunder game. I would venture a guess as to say he did not see the clock strike triple zeros, but we're going to get his take on KD going to Washington and that game.
Well, again, I got you, your predictions are on point. I did not stay the whole game. The way the Metro is, getting out of there can be a nightmare. Had to get back. But going into the game, saw Bradley Beal has got a late scratch. His shoulders has been bothering him a little bit. We've got a long stretch rest coming up. I think we just wanted to rest there. But Nene wasn't playing as well. So going into the game, we knew it would be a little bit of a challenge. And then Durant comes out and says the words to the media where, you know, everyone is always asking him about KD to DC. And he basically says, you know, last time I was at the Wizards game, I saw tons of fans with customized KD Wizards jerseys. And he was basically calling the fans, you know, garbage because he's saying, and he has a valid point. He's saying, you know, you have two great players. You have a great team. They've been to the playoffs. Why are you guys wearing jerseys of players who aren't on your team? So, interesting storyline. KD, when he would touch the ball, would get – there was little boos going on throughout the stadium just because I don't think people really appreciated it. Now, when he scored, you know, when he would score, people would cheer, obviously. But I don't know. It's just – it's sort of an interesting situation because now – going into this season, I would have put my chances of us getting KD at around like 50 or 60. And after this game, Durant pulled his hamstring, you know, in the first half. They blow us out. We don't look like a good team. We don't play any defense. The fans are just who knows what we're doing. I think I have it down to maybe like 5% chance we get KD. I just am so depressed. I don't know what it's like looking from the outside in, but, you know, what do you think?
Well, I don't think you can put a microscope on the situation, and I think looking at yesterday's events would be doing that. At the end of the day, when free agency, there's people like to speculate earlier in the season and before the players actually become free agents. I think you'll get to know a little more based on not necessarily what the Wizards do, but more than what the Thunder do, because I think Durant and everyone else knows if he went to play for the Wizards, he knows if he goes to play for the Wizards with Wall and Beal that they would be an incredibly good basketball team. So I wouldn't consider that as much a worry. What my concerns would be is what happens with Oklahoma City. Do they win a title? Is Westbrook going to leave? The other thing is the salary cap change, he might opt into his extra year and wait for the salary cap to expand so he can – make, you know, that extra $4 or $5 million a year.
Right.
And then, you know, then it becomes a situation of, you know, Cody Zeller just made a layup for the game to beat the Knicks.
I've been kind of watching, keeping my eyes on it.
That is brutal. That's brutal. Yeah, but these things in free agency, people like to speculate before the free agency market actually happens. I think Kevin Durant's focused enough on winning a title that he won't let a lot of stuff in the regular season affect him. I think he'll go into it with open eyes and see what happens when he's actually in the offseason and weigh it from there. I don't think he's going to be looking at one game in early November to make his decision.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I definitely agree with
you.
You
are the
fan.
I would say taking it down to 5% is a little bit extreme.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking at it in the microscope.
It also depends, you know, there's a lot of factors in play here. When the cap expands, is Wall's deal up that year too?
No. We've got Wall locked up for at least 3 more years. But
and
got
what about
Beal? Beal at the end of this summer. This summer, we pushed Beal off to this summer. So I'd say based on everything I've read, Durant, like you said, could opt into his deal, and that's when Russell Westbrook's deal expires, not this summer, but next summer. So then they could both sort of see like what the word is, where the Thunder are going together. And I could see that, but I think that's like the most likely possibility. But as a Wizards fan, I think what we're pulling for is the Wizards get their act together this year, play some defense, get into the playoffs, and you know, make a deep run in the playoffs, but clearly show like we need one more piece, but we're still a great team. And then the Thunder, like you said, I agree, it's all pretty much on how the Thunder plays out. It's sort of like Billy Donovan can't handle the playoffs, Russell Westbrook starts trying to take over the game too much, and he, you know, doesn't pass enough Durant. But I just think Durant and Westbrook have been through so much now that it's like no matter what Westbrook does, it's almost like Durant kind of has shown that he has his back to the, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think
the Westbrook thing is the best scenario.
Here's the thing. The reason I think he's going to leave is because I think he will opt in for another year. I would put my confidence level in that at about an 8 out of 10. And then I think Westbrook definitely leaves, which will in turn force Durant to leave. So at the end of the day, as great as the Oklahoma City Thunder have been since their franchise has existed in our lifetime, that is still a very small market team that is inevitably going to be it'll be difficult for them to target players like the ones they have now. I don't think they will be able to do it for a long time. And I think Westbrook is the kind of guy who might want to go home to California and play for a team out in LA. And I think if he does that, then KD will know that if he really wants to win, there are better options on the table. And the best option for him if Westbrook leaves, will be to go to a team like the Wizards. And it being his hometown, I think, is icing on the cake for you guys. So I think that's going to be the main thing. I think now that I like have talked it out, I think there is a good chance you guys get him, just because I think he opts in for a year, him and Westbrook are done at the same time, Westbrook leaves, and then he's kind of forced to leave, and the Wizards are his best option. Not a lot of – obviously a lot can happen, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Right. I think Wizards have been sort of looking at this summer as like the time when we would get him, and it just would be so – the cap would expand and another year would be fine. I'd obviously wait another year to take Durant, but it's just another year of all of this would just be more and more like, you know, what's happening. Do we try and go out and get a big free agent this summer if we can, or do we like hold off another summer? It's sort of like, you know, waiting and then like we miss on some other guys who aren't megastars like Durant, but that could potentially get us farther. And then it's like, does he not still end up not coming here? I'll tell you one thing I will be extremely salty about is if all these other teams like the Rockets and the Knicks and the, you know, Lakers or whoever saying like they feel that I have a shot. If Durant leaves OKC and doesn't come to DC, he might instantly go down to second least favorite player, LeBron, then KD. I don't know what I would do.
That would be pretty tough. And obviously, me being a Knicks fan,
if he goes to Houston, like he's been infuriating two fan bases, his hometown and all of the OKC fans.
Yeah, no, I understand why that would infuriate someone. You know, the thing is, in terms of him going somewhere other than the Wizards, which hasn't really been talked about except when Stephen A. talked about Kobe and Melo and Durant playing together, which is an absurd thought. No one's really talked that much about a potential landing for KD other than Washington. I do like what the Knicks are doing, and this is what we talked about, where they're trying to get a little bit better so that they're a playoff team with a big name agent thinking they can put him over the top.
Right.
And that's kind of what's happened. I mean, you know, that loss that just happened to the Hornets was tough, but in general were a lot better. The Porzingis pick, which I did not like, on record saying I didn't like it, I admit, has obviously looked very good. He looks very good. But I could understand why someone from – I mean, it would essentially be the same as if Carmelo had left New York to go somewhere else because he's from New York. You know, it would be the same thing. And he, so I understand.
Right,
I understand.
Like, you guys already have him.
No, I know.
You know,
but it was like that when we trade when he got traded to us, it would have been like if he had become a free agent that year and not signed with us, because at that point Amari was good and we were good. We were kind of where you guys are, where you know we're going to make the playoffs for sure, and we're a superstar away from being a contender. And he's from New York, so it would have been the same situation if we hadn't traded for him. And we got fleeced in that trade.
I think it would have been like – it would have been sort of like once – it would have been not quite as bad as if LeBron had left Miami and gone to, like, New York, where it's like Cleveland is expecting –
that would have been –
coming back to Cleveland.
That would have been the worst thing.
Yeah, that would have been worse than KD. But it's like Washington is expect – like, if someone says KD is leaving, then I'm like, oh, he's coming to D.C. But it's like
– yeah.
But then he would also be pissing off OKC, who it's like, you made our franchise. You are our franchise. You're the best player – this franchise has ever had. So it's like they're angry he's leaving, like the Cleveland fans were, but then he would also be like making everyone who's expecting where he would be going upset. So it's sort of like, I think it's a little worse than the Carmelo thing because he wouldn't be making a team that he didn't go to. Like, let's say he went to the Bulls. He wouldn't be making like LA fans really that mad.
Yeah, I understand. It's basically exactly the same as LeBron leaving Miami.
Right.
The only difference on that front, though, was it's not like KD played for the Wizards.
Right.
And
yeah.
Left.
LeBron would have been doing it twice.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, nothing is comparable to that. Like, if LeBron was leaving Miami, you didn't even need to look to see where he was going because he didn't have a choice but to go to Cleveland. Otherwise, he would have been ostracized by basically the whole league, other than the team he went to. It would have been the ultimate scumbag. All right, so some good stuff on KD. It sounds like the Washington fans are not quite as optimistic as they were a few months ago on the prospect of getting KD through free agency. But we've all been there. You know, when there's free agents who you want to get, there's always ups and downs. You're looking at the smallest little thing to move the needle. It's like, oh, did you see he was wearing that Yankees hat? Like, you know, you'll look at anything. So it's still a ways off. So I wouldn't worry about it quite yet. Now a team that isn't worried about free agency at all, but has done it all through the draft and has done a good job doing it through the draft is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've been impressive. There's no way around it. What's your take on the Timberwolves?
I think the Timberwolves in terms of what they've done where, you know, they bring Kevin Garnett back to the franchise that he sort of put on the map and, you know, is there playing with guys who weren't even alive when he started his career is just an amazing story considering how well everything has turned out for them. You know, Wiggins is playing great. Karl Anthony Towns is, you know, showing that he can contribute right off the bat and be a big guy who can plug up in the middle. And then, you know, Rubio is finally, after, I know he's been in the league for a few years, but after waiting so long and people wondering if he's coming from Spain or if he's, whatever, they sort of all have it coming together now. And I think it's kind of fun to watch. And they're a team that's hard to really pull against. They don't have any guy that I really dislike.
I agree. And they've done it the right way the right way and the only way, because let's face it, the Timberwolves are never going to attract a big free agent. So if they don't do it through the draft, they're not going to do it. They have no chance of being good if they don't do it through the draft. A weird stat for them is they're 4-0 on the road. They're 0-3 at home. There's a couple ways you could spin that, and the way I look at it is in the positive way, which is it seems like a lot of these young guys are probably – pressing a little bit at home. You know, they really, really want to win at home because they know they're good. And on the road, they might play a little more loose, which is a good sign because you work through that over the course of 82 games. So undefeated on the road is very impressive. Carl Anthony Towns in very elite company. He got his fourth double-double in his first six career games. Only other people to do that: Shaq, Mutombo, David Robinson, and Alonzo Mourning. So that is, you know, it's hard
great
to not
company.
Be extremely optimistic about that. But winning on the road in Chicago in overtime, getting an overtime win, and getting an over, or and then getting a win on the road at Atlanta, both games Wiggins went for 30. It's, you know, it's very impressive stuff for a very young team. The problem for them is they don't have a ton of time. They got to get really good. They got to make big strides this year. They have to be in the conversation next year. And then the year after that is going to be their time where they have to win, because they're not going to be able to keep these guys. It's the reality of the current situation in the NBA.
Yeah, and especially considering that Minnesota is just, no matter who was there, is just never going to be bringing and holding on to stars with the way free agency works nowadays. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, I guess he's relatively close to Canada, but, I mean, he would much rather flee for greener pastures as with Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could name all 29 teams that, and I would rather play there than the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they have a, I mean, you know, no offense to the Timberwolves as a team. It's just the guys now look, who are making millions, look at what's around them and where they'll be living. And Minnesota isn't exactly the spot that they imagine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm thinking about it. Cleveland, if they weren't in the situation they're in now, you know, if it's like Cleveland, no, you know, every team has the exact same chance of winning, you know, everyone's exactly the same. You choose the places you want to go.
Okay.
I would say Minnesota, I agree with you, would be last, and the other ones around that would probably be a team like maybe the Bucks.
Milwaukee
wouldn't be great.
Be very high.
And then, you know, maybe Cleveland. Well, like even Memphis wouldn't,
yeah,
you know, that's small market, but that wouldn't be bad. You know what? Oklahoma City would be pretty low. I mean,
yeah,
you look at these
really
teams.
Would. Oklahoma City would be.
You look at all these teams,
at least
and I'm just
not
looking across
20
the board.
In Oklahoma City.
Exactly. But most every team in the NBA, for the most part, is in a pretty cool city. I mean, you look at Toronto, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Orlando, Denver, San Francisco, Brooklyn, Houston, L.A., Dallas, New Orleans, Atlanta,
D.C.,
Boston, New York, Chicago, D.C. It's, these teams are in really good spots. So it's actually the percentage of teams that would really suck to play for is very, very small. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are the worst of that small, of the worst of that minority. So they got to win.
Right.
I guess what year would that be? They'd have to win the title in 2018.
17, 18. Yeah.
17, 18, yeah, around that.
Yeah.
But there's no denying what they're doing now is impressive. An interesting question would be, any shot at all for you that they make the playoffs?
You know what?
It's obviously very early, but they are in the five spot now. I'm saying it's not out of the question
for
them to make the playoffs
no.
this year. I don't think it's
I
out
don't
of the
think
question.
So either. But I'd say it's pretty small, though. And
the thing
I think D.C. has a better chance of getting Durant than the Timberwolves do of making the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I would say Durant's chances are around about a third, maybe you know, two-fifths of a chance. I'd say the Timberwolves are probably about a 20% chance. But 20% is not terrible. I mean, some of these teams that we thought were sure things have looked – or not sure things, but the borderline teams have looked bad. Like the Pelicans are a borderline team. They're 1-6. That's pretty bad, you know. And then a team like the Suns hasn't impressed many people. A team like the Mavs haven't been great.
Kings,
I would say, have no chance of making the playoffs. So if the Timberwolves – you know, I mean, they're obviously – it would be – I assume the Grizzlies will get it together. They're 3-5, but I assume they will get it together. And I assume the Rockets aren't going to finish the season around 500, which is what they're petering with right now. But it wouldn't shock me if the Timberwolves slid into an 8th spot. Those 7-8 spots, like we talked about, are up for grabs, and they have looked much better to me than some of the teams we talked about, like the Kings or the Pelicans, or even the Mavs have looked – they've had some injuries, but the Timberwolves have looked better than the Mavs. So it's obviously very early in the season, but they do have the players to get this – to make it, to get into the 8th spot, which would be an enormous step for them and would be huge.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the Timberwolves, and I guess you could argue the other side, is that I think as the season goes on, their team is so, like, opposite ends of the scale. They have really, really young guys, and then they've got guys like, you know, Kevin Garnett, Tayshaun Prince,
Kevin Martin,
RJ Miller, the oldest player in the NBA. They've got some old, like, I just don't know. People say the rookie guys hit the wall. Like, I don't know if Karl Anthony Towns or, you know, Wiggins and Rubio can handle the load the whole season. And if they hit a wall, and then, like, the Durant or the Garnets and the Andre Millers of the world, you know, I just think that they could, instead of coming on strong at the end, I think they could falter with the way the rookies aren't used to. Some of these guys haven't played more than 30 games in a season in their whole lives.
Yeah, no, I've heard that, the rookie hitting the wall thing. I mean, Wiggins came on very strong at the end of last season, so it's not necessarily – that's not ironclad. It's just a it's just kind of what happens more often than not, I'd say. But it's definitely something to consider, and especially something else, if they get into a playoff race down the stretch, none of those guys have ever been in that situation either. So it's interesting. But I'm basically, at the start of the season, I would have said there's no shot. What? Sorry?
A Warriors-Timberwolves series would be probably one of the, like, most lopsided series of all time.
It would, but would it be also – I don't think it would be disinteresting. I would watch those games with all those young guys.
Oh, yeah.
And let's be honest, the Warriors-Pelicans wasn't anything to write home about last year.
That's true.
So, all right. Last thing we're going to talk about is Byron Scott and his use of rookie point guard D'Angelo Russell. One word on it for me would be moronic, maybe?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
I was.
You, this guy is supposed to be your point guard for the next 5 years. And your team is not making the playoffs. How do you not have him getting valuable fourth quarter minutes when he's supposed to be your guy moving forward?
Yeah, I don't. My word was contradictory. You can't go out and draft a guy over Jahlil Okafor, over Porzingis. Yes, people didn't like that pick at the time, but it looks great now. Over any of those players, where to the point where
Moutier,
you guys are going to play, any of these guys, they had a great pick in the one of the deepest lottery draft pick years of a draft, and then he played no minutes in the fourth quarter, and Swaggy P. Nick Young played all 12 minutes. Like, what is Byron Scott doing? Did he not want Russell? Or I just don't. The Lakers are so bad that it's like, he's gonna play through some pains. Like when the Wizards drafted John Wall, we stuck him out there. We were like, run as fast as you want. We know you don't have the guys around you yet. We'll get you there eventually. But like, learn some things along the way, and it worked out. The only way Russell's getting better is by playing and, like, learning on the fly.
I don't understand it at all. It makes absolutely no sense to me. This was the game. The Lakers have won one game, and it was against a team that has not won a game in the Brooklyn Nets. So I don't understand it at all. I mean, what you were saying, did he disagree with the pick? I find that hard to believe that the coach would – I mean, they took him over Okafor, which leads me to believe that they – it's not like they got no surprises here. Towns was going number one overall. So they knew this was the guy they wanted. I find it hard to believe the head coach wouldn't have been consulted. Now, maybe they didn't go with the guy he wanted, but that wouldn't make sense to me either, because as a head coach of a NBA basketball team, you have to be bigger than, oh, I didn't even want this guy, I'm not going to play him. You know, it's still, you have the team that you have and you have to do what's best for the team moving forward. And what doesn't make sense to me too, is the guy that was playing in his place was, no matter how bad Russell's looked at times as a rookie, and rookies are going to, no matter who you are, look bad at times, there is no way Huertas or whatever this guy's name was better to have on the floor than D'Angelo Russell. There's no way. Now, here's one thing I will say in Byron Scott's defense that I'm looking at the box score. That guy, Marcelo Huertas, who I've never heard of, don't know how he's in the league, played 15 minutes and had a plus-minus of +8. And D'Angelo Russell played 21 minutes, and this is going to blow your mind, plus-minus of -20. So,
goodness gracious.
But, I mean, that makes me understand it a little bit more, but I still disagree with it because it was in a game they weren't going to win. And in general, it's the way you move forward as a basketball team. You have young guys who you drafted and expect to be cornerstones of the team moving forward. And at times they're going to have maybe even a plus minus of -20. But even if that's the case, you still have to let them play through those games because that's how you improve. And that's how, you know, even LeBron had looked bad at times when he came into the league. Granted, not often, and he's obviously the exception to the rule, but a rookie point guard, the hardest position in basketball to play, is going to look really bad at times. And as a team that has no chance of winning half your games, has no chance of making the playoffs, your best bet as a team is to have this guy in there so next year or 2 years from now or 3 years from now, when you do have the team to have a good season, he is experienced in these situations.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is 19 years old. I mean, what is Byron Scott expecting him to go out there and, you know, command the offense, run? I mean, you know, he's learning on the fly. I just looked it up. This Huertas guy is 32 years old. Not like they're like expecting any, you know, production from him down the road, let alone next season or at the end of this season. It just baffles me. I mean, even if Byron Scott, let's say they wanted a point guard and he was like, well, I'd rather have Moody Eye than Russell. I mean, it's still not like if he really wanted some, you know, Okafor or Porzingis, or he would have told them. I mean, it's not like they wouldn't have just gone out and picked Russell as like, oh, this is your least favorite player in the draft. Like, we're going to get him. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And his stats aren't that bad. I mean, he's got 1.1. He's averaging about a 1.5 turnovers per game, which is pretty standard. You know, I think it's pretty good for being a rookie point guard on a not very good team. Yes, he'd want his assist numbers to be up. He's not really doing that stuff. But who's he going to pass it to? Kobe, who's going to hike up an air ball? I mean, it's just not a very good team.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Obviously, the plus-minus thing is, like, I could understand where Byron Scott's coming from. And I know it's a long season, so the argument that he'll get plenty of chances. But Nick Young playing the whole fourth quarter, if anybody doesn't know what they're going to get out of Nick Young at this point, then you don't know how to evaluate basketball. We've known what we were going to get out of Nick Young since he came into the league. The guy can score the ball in bursts, and he's going to do a lot of dumb things, and he's going to jack up some bad shots. D'Angelo Russell is a guy who you drafted second overall in, like you said, one of the best drafts ever. So you, as an organization, are putting a lot of belief and a lot of faith in this guy to be a very, very good point guard. You have to let him go through the growing pains. So I don't understand it at all. Clearly neither do you. Byron Scott, I don't know how he's coached as many games as he has. I mean, when has he had success?
He had a couple good years with the Nets when they had Kidd and Kittles and Kenyon Martin and those guys. And I think he's been just sort of running off those fumes for a while.
Didn't he get canned there pretty early too?
Yeah, I think he coached the Cavs for a bit. I mean, he's just been luckily been on teams that have been good, so everyone thinks like, you know, oh, okay. I mean, honestly, the Lakers team on paper, if you said, I mean, all these players are outrageous, yes, but like Lou Williams, sixth man of the year, Jordan Clarkson, an up and coming guy, Julius
Randle.
Jordan
Clarkson looks
great,
pretty good.
Yeah. Julius Randle, great draft pick. Kobe, I mean, just the name Kobe sounds great. I mean, he's probably one of the reasons they're not doing well, obviously. Nick Young can score the ball. Meta World Peace, great defender, can guard like the other guy's best guy. Roy Hibbert was once, you know, dominant in the paint, and then Brandon Bass, serviceable. And then you throw D'Angelo Russell in there. It's like, what? I don't really understand what's wrong with that picture, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's wrong with it is just, like, individually, you have some talent, but it's guys that don't work together really at all. I mean, Meta World Peace is, I mean, I don't even know if he's gotten in a game yet. He probably shouldn't. I don't understand why they re-signed him at all, unless Kobe kind of, like, told the front office he wanted him back for leadership or something. I don't understand that move. Hibbert looks like a shell of himself out there. I think that the organization, and I know we've talked about this with a couple teams, it's like you got to go one way or the other. You got to go youth, or you got to try and bring in some experience. But they have enough young guys where they could still be good, with Nick Young being one of them. I mean, I think their best lineup would probably be Russell, Clarkson, Randall, I guess Hibbert, and then Nick Young. Kobe mm-hmm. is an interesting situation in itself. I still think he can be effective. He's given me no reason to believe he can still be effective, mind you. But for some reason, I still think he can be effective.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The Lakers situation might be worse than the Kings situation. I think
yeah,
it probably
I
is.
And one of the fun facts, or one of the best things I've seen come out of the Lakers season so far, Kobe Bryant hired a camera crew to follow him around for this season, which, yeah, probably points to this being his last season. But if we get anything like his Mamba documentary where he talked about his injury and he narrated it, and, you know, he's come out and said he wants to get into, like, narrating and storytelling, I just can't think that seeing a Kobe, you know, documentary of his last season, I just hope that they somewhat turn around, or at least he turns it around, and we can see a great HBO special, you know, narrated by Kobe. We're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I heard that he was hiring the camera crew too. It really is a pretty dismal way to go out. I know he has said that he's going to retire a Laker, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're Broussard or Stephen A. or someone will come out and say every once in a while, like, you know, oh, well, I could see him, you know, trying to go. I don't think he'll go anywhere. I just couldn't see him going to play. It just, unless he just wants to be exactly like Michael Jordan, what, to the point where people would, like, fault him, and he's not nowhere near what Jordan was on the Wizards at this point. I don't know. I think that would just look way too kind of copycat. In my opinion, I think he's going to retire a Laker, whether it's this year or he just kind of winds down and sort of does the Garnett. The thing about what he needs to do is sort of figure out that role of, he's never really been the greatest mentor. He's just been like, get behind, fall in line, or, you know, you're in trouble. And that's the way he's been a good leader. But now that he doesn't have the same, like, his voice is quivering, so to speak, commanding anyone, it's like, like, you know, if I'm Julius Randle and Kobe says something, it's sort of like, yeah, okay, all right, you're kind of over the hill.
Yeah. I mean, you would hope that Kobe Bryant would still command respect for the young guys. But at the end of the day, it's those guys, you know, they didn't necessarily, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, they're younger. Those guys are younger than we are. So it's, you know, yeah. I obviously remember Kobe being very good, but I also, you know, it wasn't like I was 15 years old when he was really good, you know, where I was really, you know, taking everything in that I saw. You know, he wasn't like the first dominant, you know, the dominant guy I remember was a lot, you know, more mellow LeBron than Kobe. And he was in there, but we obviously are older than those guys. And for me,
like,
at least,
no way do these guys remember Kobe wearing the number 8 jersey.
Exactly. They don't remember Fro Kobe, I bet.
Right.
That's something to take into account. I mean, at this point, you're right. He needs to find his role. And that role needs to be, he's looked really bad shooting the ball. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he needs to play more of a facilitator role, but then I think that kind of would hinder D'Angelo Russell's growth as a player, because he'd be letting Kobe try to facilitate a lot more of the offense, when I think that's something D'Angelo Russell needs to do, because I think it's kind of his weakness as a point guard, because obviously he can score the ball pretty well. I mean, he hasn't been scoring it a lot, but we saw it at Ohio State. He can score the ball in a lot of ways. He can shoot and he can get to the rim. And I think and you could disagree with me here, but I think his biggest thing that he needs to work on is penetrating and passing, facilitating an offense. And so if you're going to let Kobe go out on his last legs trying to be a facilitator because he can't score anymore, then you're doing D'Angelo Russell and your future and the future of your team a disservice.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's why the whole reason why Byron Scott has benched D'Angelo is because he's not distributing. He's not getting the assists that you'd like. I mean, and Kobe, I think, is trying and doing what is the best role for him, and that's hanging out in the corner, trying to draw attention and spot up. But it's just, he's not a spot up shooter, and I don't know if he can turn himself into a spot up shooter. He's kind of a ball stopper, feels out the defense, and hopes to draw a double team. I just think that's why we've seen Kobe struggle. And if he can get used to, and we all know he'll be probably shooting right now, getting, I guess they just lost the game, but he's probably back in the gym shooting shots, getting them up, working on his spot up threes. And I mean, we do have to remember he's adjusting to a new team as well. So I think he can turn it around and kind of play that little bit of a spot up shooter, similar to like a Vince Carter, with a little bit more involvement, obviously, than Vince Carter, but just sort of a role like that, and then let D'Angelo and Jordan Clarkson sort of run the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem. It's like when you and I are talking about this and having a hard time even coming up what a role for him could be, is when you know you're in trouble. I don't think there's a role he can play that's going to make this Lakers team be effective, because I don't think this Lakers team is going to be any good. And I do think he's a problem. I think the best thing for him would be to go to a team, go leave that team. I know he probably won't do it, but if we're saying hypothetically, the best thing that could happen to him is he needs to go somewhere with a really good coach that could figure out a way to use him effectively. And that's not Byron Scott.
I'm saying everyone, assuming Kobe retires this year, everyone on the team is like up on the trading block, with the exception of Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell, because I think if those are the two guys you're going
to
go with,
I'd hang on to Clarkson.
I don't. Too. Yeah, it's just I don't. Clarkson is the kind of like Russell Westbrook, you know, poor man's Russell Westbrook, where it's like he likes having the ball and creating on like the fast break jump shot, pull up jump shots, or like creating With being D'Angelo Russell, if you want him to really grow, I mean, yeah, they would hang on them and they probably wouldn't trade him. But I just think I could see D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle running a great pick and roll with spot up shooters around them. And I'm not sure if Jordan Clarkson fits into that role, just into the point where another team might value him enough to give up someone who would fit better for the Lakers in Randle and Russell. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, and the good news is for the Lakers, they're probably going to get another top five pick. I got an interesting thing, and I'll go first, and it actually just popped into my head. But so take your time on it. But who do you think, in order, you know, lottery excluded, you know, just worst five records in the league, from worst to fifth worst? You can think about it while I go through it. Worst record in the league, I think, is going to go to the Brooklyn Nets. Second worst, I think, will go to the 76ers. Third will be the Lakers. Fourth worst will be your Sacramento Kings. And fifth worst, this is actually kind of going to be a wild, not that much of a wild card, will be the Denver Nuggets.
Okay. Yeah, I think picking five teams is going to be, the fifth team is going to be the toughest for me. I think I'm going to have the same four, maybe in a different order. I agree with you on Brooklyn Nets having the worst team. I think the Sixers and those other teams have a little bit more talent than them, and I think they're, like, just who knows what they're thinking. I think the Lakers have the second worst, and then I think the Kings the third worst, and then I go Sixers. I think somehow the playing in the East and whatnot, the Sixers kind of, like, end up winning some games, figuring it out.
Yep, I can get behind that.
And then the fifth team, I really want to go back to a Western Conference team like you did, and I would go between the Nuggets and the Pelicans. And
I don't see any way the Pelicans can be down there. I think the Blazers were the second team I was going to go with.
The Blazers, really? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could also sort of like the Mavericks. If the Mavericks lose, like some of these older teams, if they lose enough games early on, they could just kind of pack it in and just go on like 10-game losing streaks.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right. So, but four worst records in the league, we're going same. We're going Nets, Lakers, Sixers, Kings. That's going to do it for this week. Hopefully, and I would assume next week, we'll be doing it on the normal Tuesday, assuming no one goes to any games. And we will actually potentially will be debuting a college basketball show tomorrow night if we can get our ducks in a row. So tune in for that. And thanks for listening. One at a time, cause someone call a referee. Is that just me? One more shot, have forgiveness.